you see there's engineering line item in the CIP, there's engineering consultant to do plans, specifications, all that bid document stuff. Then there's another level. So even before that, I have to have somebody, usually you have somebody at the agency who manages the project and keeps track of that consultant, because the big mistake is just to hand a consultant engineer a contract and let him do the work, because there's nobody watching what he's doing, nobody looking out for interests, and so they get tendency just to kind of spin their wheels and can get stuck. So we got to have a project manager manage the project, make sure that guy stays on task and move things forward and manage the overall scope, schedule, and budget for the project. And that's our project manager, and that's the person we don't have here at the district. So George is it right now, but as we all know, he's contract's about out, and he wants to leave, and he wants to go back to being retired. So
okay.
That's the project manager role, and that, so we don't have a person here doing that, then we're going to hire another consultant. So there's two consultants. There'll be a project manager consultant that will not do design, and then there'll be a design consultant. That's the way it's set up right now.
Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification, because from some water customers, we have gotten the question, as you know, based on the Sweetwater Treatment Plant, as to why we had a consulting firm overseeing the project if we had George. So
right.
there was always that concern of the
different
double.
It's different roles. So
okay.
That one role is prepare design plans, and the project manager role is to manage the scope, schedule, budget of the whole project and getting to the end. Whereas the engineer is just worried about, I just want to get my plans and specs done, and I don't, that's it. I'm going to prepare nice drawings and specs and be done. But we need somebody, the umbrella, to look out for everything else.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm sure that clears it up for a lot of folks here in the room, too. On the last accomplishment that you have here on the first page where we did the LT2 for the
yes.
lead.
Yeah.
The email that I received from you in the dialogue and conversation you and I have going back and forth is the original request I made was for our revised sampling policy to include the lead in the schools. And I know that you're working with Adam, and
right, Adam
sent me the lead and copper rule, but what I was looking for is your policy, your sampling policy that was revised to include lead in the schools. So if that helps to clarify what I was looking for,
yes.
And I could follow up, and we can keep
okay,
conversation going in email, so we can.
I mean, I can
that.
Assure. I want to assure you and everybody in the room that we've complied with every single part of that legislation,
mm-hmm.
and did the sampling, and everything's been done the right way, and the results have come back non-detect. So
that's great. And then, in the spirit of transparency, which again is another request from the customers, if we could update that policy and then get it on the website, that would be great.
I can talk to Adam offline about what policies we have and need to be updated. I know, sitting here, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, if we could get them on the website, that would be even better. But then we can point, when we get those questions, since we're out in the public, we could just point them directly back to the website, which, by the way, we have done on several occasions for the fire hydrants. So that's good that we're getting that information out on the website. The other question I have is on your second page under your projects. I know I've asked you this before, and I'm going to ask again. I'm going to keep asking to see if you can put these projects that you want to get done on some type of a project management schedule. I know that they're in the CIP, and you've got them budgeted for multiple years, but I'd like to see individual scope, schedules, and budgets for the individual projects so that we can see what priority they have and what schedule they're on for completion.
Okay.
And let's see. The question I had then on your third page under your following items cannot be started without a dedicated project manager, contract, or staff. And I'm just wondering, if this is something that's been a concern of yours for quite a while, why has that not ever shown up on the agenda for further discussion? I know you've had it on there for the project engineer to replace George Sanders, but if you need contract or staff,
this is the same thing.
Okay.
This is the George Sanders replacement, essentially.
Okay.
And I mean, the proper time to have the discussion is during budget. I mean, we're having a discussion now. I mean, it's been in my staff report, I don't know how long. In my GM report, it's always been there. So, not always, I don't know, probably
So the contract.
Three, 4 months, probably, this list of things that we're not gonna be able to do without project manager, and this is something that we have discussion during the budget workshops, is these are the projects we need to do, how do you want me to do them? And I presented to the board, well, I wanna hire staff, I wanna hire engineering project manager, it's been in the org chart since I got here.
So that's the staff you referred to?
Yeah, that's engineering, if you look in the org chart, well, it is additional, because they're not here now, and it's not in the org chart, in my org chart it shows up as unfunded, I'm not sure if it's in the budget one, but in the presentations it's in there as a red box, that I've identified a few positions as a need to make the district sustainable for the long term and be able to do all the things that the board wants us to do. And one of those is the engineering project manager. Because even, I argue with George here, part-time is not enough. You can only, with one guy like that, you can get two projects done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three, you know, three's pushing it for one guy. Typical workload for CIP manager would be 3 to 4 projects. That's what my expectation would be out of somebody like that at a time. So depending on how quickly you can move through them, that, you know, it's 3 or 4 a year, maybe only 2 a year, depending on how complicated they are. So that's the workload I'm looking for out of a project manager. And then, you know, the project manager, having someone in-house also gives you some continuity, some in-house institutional knowledge, ability to do other things that are not specifically related to a related project, do some policy type writing, do some grant writing, and then it also provides you with some succession planning. So as people above them leave the organization, you've got a pool of folks, and this has been my discussion with the managers the whole time, people like Daryl and Stephanie and Christina, those are your, and Adam, and this engineering manager will be your pool of resources if you want, if GM or somebody leaves higher up, that's your in-house pool that you can look to say, well, we need someone to fill that role. So I feel like that is a really key person for that reason. So, that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, thanks.
It's been a budget discussion, so if the board wants to have it on the agenda as a discussion, I would welcome that opportunity. I just need a direction from the board that you'd like to see a staff report and discussion item about a dedicated project manager.
Okay, I appreciate the clarification, and I wanted to just clarify that when you said or staff, you weren't thinking of anybody in addition to what's already lined out on the org chart.
No, it is a new position. Yeah. It's not in the org chart. There is no engineering manager position in the org chart. George's position is not in the org chart.
Correct, and I'm assuming that's what you mean by dedicated project manager. But when you say...
That's so you get parentheses if you want after project manager.
Okay, thank you. That would clarify, because when it's a comma where it says contract or staff...
However you want to read it, it means that project manager is either contract or he's on staff.
Okay, thanks. That's the clarification I needed. Okay, thanks. The other thing that seems like it is an opportunity before you, the way the policies are written, is that if you're coordinating the agenda with a general manager, you could coordinate to put this on there like you have in the past. So
let me finish.
Let me finish. That's what you are doing, and just follow my logic. So when I read this, and I was wondering if you needed 2 additional staff members to help with these projects and that you couldn't get them done without a project manager and an additional staff. And staff, as you know, can be sometimes singular or plural. So for that clarification, which you just provided, is great. But in my line of thinking, I'm also wondering if he has the opportunity, the way the policies are written, why hasn't he already done it? So again, let me finish because you just clarified that too.
Okay.
So I just want to get through all of these so I can check them off.
Okay.
The list that you have here of the projects that cannot be started until you get additional support, whenever that may be, are the projects that were reflected on the estimated costs that the board and the members, certain members of the board, had concerns. And that's why we are waiting again for the CIP, the revised CIP and the revised budget. So I'm going to ask you again, when you get to that point, would you please prioritize these projects based on which ones will be done when, and explain how we're going to afford those project costs, especially if the Smart Water Grant doesn't come through?
Yeah, that's the discussion we'll have with the Finance Committee first, and then the Board, just how to fund these projects. So let me explain to you the thought process of why I'm just not throwing stuff on the agenda that I need or want, apparently. Because this project manager position, I have direction from the Board on it. It would be wrong for me to bring back an item and say, I know you guys already decided this, but I don't agree with your decision. I want you to revisit it. That would be wrong for me to do as general manager without some kind of change that happened, you know, some kind of structural change that occurred. There's no reason for me to bring this back because I already have direction. And so in my mind, bringing it back again would be like insubordination. I'd be like telling the Board, I know you gave me direction back in June to not budget for this position and to instead increase the capital project budget and to do this RFP for a consultant project manager. You gave me that direction. I'm following that path. And I'm not trying to deviate from that path. I'm trying to follow that path. So if I brought this back again and said, hey, I know you guys told me to do this, but I think you were wrong, and we need to revisit it. I don't have any additional information that would... I'd be presenting the same information again. And so to me, that's the wrong thing to do as general manager. I have direction from the Board, and I'm trying my best to follow it. And that is why I did the RFP for this work. And I did the RFP, and then I got trying to listen to the phone over there.
Don't listen to the phone.
And the RFP, I got proposals back, and you'll see them. You'll see the proposals and our proposed contract. I'm hoping at a January meeting, I've got, you know, I'm just negotiating scope and fee from them to make sure it's something that I can agree to, and it can fit within our project budgets. I mean, that's part of it. That's my job, and that's exactly what you told me to do, is what I'm doing, is how do I make sure that I can fit these guys within those project budgets? And if there are problems, I will identify them and bring them to you.
Okay,
so that's the thought process. Is I have direction. I'm following that direction. I'm not trying to convince the Board they made a wrong decision.
Thank you.
Additional questions?
That's all I have.
Okay. Just add to that, just by keeping it in with consultants on project manager without putting the staff in, would also probably help take that out. Although we know we want eventually to be a staff date, but if it's just consultant we're looking for, that'll also help with that.
Okay. Additional? You have any additional questions?
No.
Director Halpin, do you have any questions in general manager report? Dave, you there?
Now he's muted it.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll go real quick. Steve, I had a question on the seminars on the keeping water system operating during emergencies.
Yes.
Session. And I'm curious, there's been a lot of talk that says that you have to have a committee to look at emergencies and planning and whatnot. Was that discussed in the seminar?
That one, no. They talked about some of the challenges and some of the things we've discussed here internally, but it was more about how do you keep your pump stations running? Mm-hmm. How do you keep your treatment plants running? That was kind of the emergency side, that particular one. So there were examples where, like, from City of Orlando had a pump station totally burn up, you know, melted. And they had liability exposure from that, as they call it, inverse condemnation, I think.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting sued because there were number of like a dozen homes in Orlando that burned because that pump station wouldn't operate. And I guess the issue really was there was supposed to be a tank there, and then instead of a tank, they ended up with a pump station. And I don't know if that pump station was interim or permanent, but there wasn't a tank at the time of the fire. And the lawsuit said, well, there should have been. You had this pump station instead, and it burned up, so you're liable. And the courts found them guilty, mm-hmm. or liable. And they had to settle and pay some huge number of money. Which I believe insurance paid for, so which I believe they're in the JPA, so basically everybody paid for. That was kind of the tenor of that was, and we had discussions about, well, you know, if there's a fire, you can't, some propane companies wouldn't deliver during a fire scenario, so if your backup generator is on propane, you're in trouble. That was that seminar. Mm-hmm. The other one that dealt with emergencies was the fourth one down, how to prepare to communicate critical water quality information during emergency. And that's when they actually had a state water board engineer talking about the process he was going through with that city of Poway example I provided earlier about how they had stormwater get into their treated water to clear well. And he didn't talk about emergency plays and that either. It was mainly like, oh yeah, the city of Poway reached out to me and said they had all these dirty water complaints and couldn't find the result. Then so they were going to issue a boil water notice. And so that was where he got involved, was when the city determined they already had a problem and were looking for his support for a boil water notice and how to isolate the problem and identify the problem.
So I guess maybe in general then, our district policies or practices when it comes to emergencies seem to be in accordance with what other
we have an emergency response plan, and it seems based on what I heard at those two seminars, it's in line with what other people are doing. It's in line. I mean, we follow the state template when we put together that response plan. We're actually just finished an update of it recently, and it's a draft. I think we're sending a draft to the state next week or this week. For them to review. But we do have one. I carry within my truck, so I always have it with me. So that when I get those phone calls at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., I don't know when was it 5 a.m. last time?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, 4 or 5 a.m., I have something to refer to.
Thank you. Do you have any comments on this? So, seeing nothing else on the general manager's report, we'll go to Daryl. Operation manager.
I had one question.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah, sure. Sorry.
Yes, and it's, you're right on what I was going to ask.
Okay.
As well. On your emergency plan, at what point is it too much money to put in to make keeping the system running? I mean, the public is there.
Right.
Is there some kind of a where you can just let it go, because, or are you liable, totally liable, to keep that system running at whatever cost?
We have to provide. And the water we provide has to be clean, right? So that's the threshold. If we're providing, I mean, Daryl probably speak to more, but that's the threshold we have to draw, is if we're not able to provide clean water, then that's when we have to issue a boil water notice. That's the trigger. So financials don't really get into that part of it.
Couldn't the public be notified that at some time we may not be able to get water if, and everybody is notified that the power is going to go out, you have to have power shut off.
And then just shut off water to everybody?
Yeah.
I don't know the legal ramifications of shutting down the plants instead of trying to keep them running. No one would have water at that point for basic life and health.
Well, if they knew it was coming, they could conserve and maybe have water on tap.
I don't think we evaluated that.
Well, people did.
You have to have water to fight fires, too. And
emergency response.
That's the other part of it. Our plants all provide water to the hydrants, so without the treatments running, there's no water at the hydrants for the firefighters to use.
Well, I understand that, but at what point is it too much?
Right.
Is there any, do you have any, no.
Probably during a real emergency. Like this PSPS, just so you know, people did conserve. We didn't even ask them. Yeah. The water take a huge dive on the days where the PSPS. Everybody, they weren't using water. So it was great for us because we were running off of diesel and, you know, the new plant, we're trying to figure it out. How long is it going to last? How many days? Blah, blah, blah.
That's because you have no heat. You have water. Yeah. You have no system to heat your water. So yeah. You're not taking showers.
Water
can. Yeah. Not running dishwashers or
right.
Washing
as soon as your tank's empty, you're done.
Yeah.
Whether there's water there or not.
So, that worked out good as far as that went.
As soon as your hot water tank's empty, it's cold water. Cold showers.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hoffman, just to clarify, when the general manager says clean water, what he means and what he's referring to is pure wholesome water, is what it says in the state law, and that is in Title 17, Title 22, for the and it's the water that meets the drinking water standards, the California drinking water standards. So they have certain standards they have to meet. If they don't meet those, they can't serve that water to you, and call it potable, pure wholesome drinking water. So that's what he means when he says clean water.
I understand that, but if the power goes out, those are things beyond your control. It just seems to me that there would be some kind of guidelines and let the public know. You could even put it on Channel 3 News that, well, if the power is going to be out, make sure that you conserve water and that you have water on hand for you to drink.
Correct, and you're absolutely right, but the general manager also has a storage capacity too within the district. So there's storage tanks, and so there's a certain number of hours where they can provide that potable water during emergency situations like a power shutoff. And they do have the generators there that can run those facilities that can keep them running to a point.
Okay.
Do you want to add to that?
I'm a little naive.
No, I think what he's suggesting, though, by hearing it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that when we get a PSPS, we should just shut the plants down and not produce any water and tell people, hey, plants are off, don't use water. Is that right?
That's the point.
Yeah, that's where is there a point somewhere where we get to that? I don't have an answer.
Is what I'm getting at. Maybe I'm
is
a little
it, wait,
naive
is it too expensive to run the plant off diesel?
Right, because you're saying it's really a lot of money to run that. But if you have tanks up high and you have gravity flow to let that water come down through these storage tanks, then that's a whole different story. I don't know.
But that supply is limited too. You know, if there's only a certain number of gallons we have in storage.
Right. To the point, there's no written guidelines on that.
Okay.
Plus, let's not forget where we live.
Right.
Power goes out here all the time, all the winter. It's nothing new. We went through these PSP events like they were nothing. The plants, we had plenty of fuel. It was not a big deal. You know, back in 89 or 90, we were out of a snowstorm. We were out for 12 days straight. Luckily, I didn't work here. But the people that did was probably miserable. But we were out of power for 12 days straight. And we all had water the whole time. I mean, you know, unless there's a fire like Paradise and we all run, which
right.
we will, you know, unless that happens, we're going to be here getting water. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, so.
And another issue to add that we don't have in our district, but other districts that has wastewater, but you need water to be running for your wastewater to work. So that's why a lot of, there's no real shut off of water, because if you shut off your regular water, then you're not flushing through your wastewater, so.
Well, thank you for your explanation. I won't take up way too much time. You're educating here, and it's not the time to do that, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's a good question, and don't forget, too, that with fire flow requirements, you have to have 20 PSI in those lines at all times for fire flow. So even if the power is shut off and the district cannot shut down the plants, because if your house is on fire, you're going to need that pressure and you're going to need a certain amount of storage. And not only with fire flow is it, you know, a pressure issue, but it's also a volume issue.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to have 20 PSI in a line for an extended period of time to put out wildfire or house fire, structure fire, you need a certain volume. So the plants have to stay on, basically is what it means.
Okay. Let's go to operation manager report. Daryl, please.
It's all good. We've been, it's the same thing as normal. The only thing that I'd like to say is our lake's coming up fast. When I put this report together on the 1st, it was at 18,200 acre feet. Today it's at 19,226.
Wow.
So we came up 1,000 acre feet in the last 10 days.
Wow.
Is it spilling?
No, it's at 19,2, so at 20,000. So
20.
My guess it'll be this month,
yeah.
The way it's happening. So that's good. We have more water coming in than going out. I heard it mentioned, so I'll just bring it up briefly, that the generators, because we keep talking about it, we do have two bids. Out of the five people we contacted, Adam
Yay.
And I, we have two bids. They're
good job.
Both more than we budgeted for, so we're trying to negotiate price.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to have to probably come back to the board and get it approved, because it's probably going to be more than the budget that I budgeted for those. I think it wouldn't have been a year ago, but with these PSB events, prices have gone through the roof.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, working on that. And I normally don't do this, but I'll spend a second seeing the things I'm working on too. Just the filter number 3, almost got that ready, because we're going to do a rebuild of filter number 3 at Walton. I've almost got the request. Actually, it's kind of done. I have to get it approved. Through Steve, working on one for our polymer, for our treatment plants, working on it. Going to start another one next, or when I say another one, another request for bids for the Spanish dry diggings tank, which is going to be our next water storage tank we're going to redo
mm-hmm.
out of a reservoir. well, that was all my notes here real quick. And that machine that we bought, that Polaris for upcountry, we had the tracks put on it last week, so it's ready for snow. We thought we had snow last week, and now it's gone. But it'll be coming back, so when it does, we should be able to have no problem getting in there now. I took a picture of it, but I didn't get it on the slide thing. It's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting that out so we can actually get in places with chainsaws and equipment and keep things going like we couldn't do last year. That's it.
Darryl, your proactive nature is very much appreciated, so thank you for being pre-prepared and on top of stuff like that. But just one question. With the work that you're doing at Walton with the filters, is that possibly why Mr. Matthews is maybe noticed a change in the water?
No, we haven't done any work.
Okay.
No.
Just preparing to get the work done or to do the work?
Yeah, I have to do a request for bids, put it out to bid, you know, 30-day process and all that stuff. Excuse me. To be honest with you, I've heard this from several people, because I've been drinking the water here since I was born out of Walton.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you noticed a change?
I haven't. But a lot of people have. And I'm going, I don't know. I've worked in the plants. I don't now, but I did for 20 years. I go, we're using the exact same chemicals, the exact same suppliers. Nothing has changed. So I don't know what's going on.
That's water.
You know? So, anyway, just want to let you know, I've had people say the same thing to me.
Okay, thank you.
I just have a quick question. You said you installed one new treated service line and you pulled two new service lines. What's the difference?
The one new service
you put in a meter.
Was a new meter. Just somebody wanted a meter that didn't have one before.
And then you put in new lines and, from
the main. The polytubing from the main to the old meters, that's getting very common.
But then you didn't install meters at the end of them?
There was already one there. We just pulled the old line out and a new line in at the same time. We use the old line to pull a new line.
Okay, you fixed it.
Because they're starting to fall apart. They're all 40 years old.
Yeah,
we're having lots of problems with those.
Yeah.
I think there's one in Steve's office with a whole bunch of clamps on it. We got those everywhere.
Okay, got it.
Luckily, those slowed down because I don't know if you remember, but we were looking at like 10 of those a month. We only did a couple last month, so that was nice. That was it for me.
Adam? Nothing new to really report. We finished up our annual inspections for the year, 2019. This month we're going through all the manholes and inspecting them, video camering them, sealing them if needed, making sure any vegetation in the CES builder's clean, making sure everything's cleaned up, checking stuff to take up there. Nothing really out of the ordinary from last month. Finished up our sampling this month and have our quarterly report to the state next for next year.
Okay. Any questions?
I want to thank you for giving me answers to my questions about maintaining our septic systems during the power outage. But what I want to know is how you're going to pass that on to the rest of the customers. There was a lot of confusion on Facebook about it, and people were giving out information that didn't always sound right to me. So is there a way we're going to send out that information, like through a bill, the back of a bill,
We updated the website with the information.
What's that?
I think we have updated the website with the information.
Oh, you did update?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how somebody know it's there?
Yeah.
Can you put that on the bill, look on the website
for it?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on to Finance Committee report. Steve?
One thing that I would like to bring up, it's not necessarily a committee discussion, but we're anticipating another loss on the committee as of the end of this month, and that'll leave us two down, so I'd like for the board to just think about replacing the two folks that we'd be missing as of January. And then the other thing is, you've heard that the power outage stopped us from having our meeting, and I just wanted to assure the board and the public that none of our pay was affected.
So when's the next meeting? Do we know?
Steve, when is your next meeting?
Next meeting is next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow.
On the 18th? 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Okay. And question for you, something you just said, but I'll think of it in a sec. What happened when I don't write it down? But it was, I'm sorry. Anyway, it was. Have you received any applications or any resumes yet from anyone interested in possibly replacing Rick Gillespie or Sierra?
No.
Okay.
Since I'm relatively new to that process, is that something that I would expect to come to me and then go to you, or is it something you solicit?
We put something out to the district.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So,
thank you.
Probably until that happens, nobody's going to be sending anything to anyone. So.
Thank you.
Okay, any additional questions, Finance Committee report?
No, but I do have one question for Daryl before you leave.
Oh, yeah. You bet. I just had a restroom.
Your teeth are blank. Actually, it was actually for Adam before he left. You know what? Go ahead and go, because I'll just talk to Steve, the general manager.
I might be able to help.
Yeah. I was going to say, not here literally, but you know what I mean. Steve, can you, again, I'm going to make this request again like I have in the past. Can you work with Christina to see how far along she's gotten on the report that I requested that I know she's working on to see the staff rate breakdown and the expenses for Fund 40? And I know you've put the information for the activities that are done and the staff that have worked on them, but I'd like to see a breakdown in the labor rate for that work so that I can coordinate it, because we're still seeing huge swings in Fund 40 for payroll. According to what was handed to us today that we're going to review, we're down to like 5,600 for payroll when it's been as high as, high up in the, 20s, and then around 11,000, now swings back down to 5, and then we've got expenses that are coming in around 10,000 when sometimes those have been as high as 30,000. So I'd like to be able to kind of tie the swings to the work that's done. And so can you check with Christina to see how far along she is on that project?
Well, so what I sent you guys, so let me back up. So I did respond to that specific question a few months ago about that one swing in July,
mm-hmm.
and it was because the unfunded accrued liability payment, we made a lump sum payment at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why for that month it was extraordinarily high, because instead of doing it every month, we did one payment for the whole year. And so then today, I sent you an email today, so you probably haven't seen it yet, that shows the fund expenses, labor expenses.
Oh, she got it done then. Okay.
And how many hours. Labor hours. So one chart is down here is how much labor expenses are, and then the red is how many hours were booked to the zone. So you can do an average hourly rate if you wanted to,
mm-hmm.
to figure out. And it looks like it's between 19 and 24. There was in July the labor looks a little high. I talked to Adam about it. We think it's because there were a lot of escrows that month, and he spent a lot of time. The challenge is we have 2 to 4 staff members billing to that fund at different rates, right? And so, they do all electronically. So they, when they spend time there, they go on the app on their phone, or they go on the web portal and they log in their time to the zone. So they're tracking whatever time they spend, they put in there. And so it varies month to month depending on, whatever work is being done. So I think this will get to answer the question. And then beyond that,
okay.
I don't know what else to go with it. I mean, I think this answers the question, because I disagree that there's these wild fluctuations. It looks like it's pretty consistent in terms of hours. If you compare, if you correlate hours to dollars, it's pretty consistent. And I think some of the confusion might be that Adam's report and Christina's report are a month apart. So when they come to the board, like today's, Adam's report is for November, but Christina's is for October. And so you have to go back a couple months to get it all collated. So we did that work, and I sent it to you and the whole board. So if you have questions, please let me know. Because I think it shows the picture quite well.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to compare that then with the tracking that I've been doing for the entire year based on the payroll and the OE&E.
Now, other than that, all I can do is give you time cards. I mean, I don't know how else to answer the question other than have you come in and review payroll records. I think this answers it.
Okay,
so
I'll take a look at it, but thank you for answering my question, because since you got it done. Thank you.
Okay. Item 6 done, so we will go to Item 7, new business. Can we change some of these things around if someone, those of you come late? 7G is now 7A, so we'll start there. Provide direction on whether to discuss a 2020 water rate freeze next board meeting. Steve, can you just start with your staff report, please?
Yeah, so I want to address a couple things with this. I think, so this item is just to get direction whether or not, whether you want me and staff to analyze the impact of a freeze and give the board the option to freeze. And the reason, again, this, I think I already said this meeting, the reason it's done, I did it that way, is because in my mind, I have direction from the board on what to do with rates. You guys already gave me direction on what to do, and I'm trying to follow that. And so for me to just haphazardly just decide to, I've heard one board member complain or raise issues, I need to bring this back to the full board again. It doesn't feel right to me as a staff to do that without the full board telling me and giving me direction to spend time to analyze this and give the board the opportunity to freeze rates. So that's why it's focused down like this. That's the only reason. I already have direction from the January-February meeting. As mentioned before, the board adopted a resolution. The resolution says rates are frozen for a year. With the January-February billing, rates will go up by 5% on treated water. I think it's 10% on irrigation water. So that's kind of outlined in the staff report, that is what the direction was that was scheduled to happen. So if the board does nothing, that's what happens. With the January-February billing, the rates will go up by 5% on treated, 10%, I think it's 10% on irrigation. So, but in recognition that I have heard board members in the board meeting say, hey, I'd like to see this on the agenda, right? I look around the room, I don't get any direction from any other board member. I have one board member saying, hey, I want this on the agenda. No one else on the board is saying anything. Everyone's looking at me. So without any kind of direction, I'm kind of like, okay, well, I know what they want to do, but I don't know what anybody else wants to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of stuck until I started getting some emails from the public also saying the same thing, like, we want you to discuss this, we want to discuss this. So this is the avenue to make sure that the board is in line with the one or two board members that say they want this discussed and the public that says they want this discussed. Mm-hmm. For the policy, I want the board to tell me, yes, we want to discuss or not to freeze. And then I'll go back and do the analysis like we did last year and provide you some updated numbers and do some comparisons. I've already heard questions about, well, how much revenue did we get this year versus before the rates, and you know, how much revenue, you know, all those questions, which I didn't prepare for this staff report because I don't know that the board wants me to do this yet. So that's what I need. I need the board to tell me, and it's as simple as that, to tell me, yes, Steve, we want to option to freeze rates, bring us back analysis, and give us the opportunity to do that. That's what I need. That's the point of this item. I guess Stafford also mentioned that in the January-February time frame, that same point in time, the board adopted the resolution 2019-14 to freeze the rates at 2018 rate level. They also directed the general manager, staff, finance committee members to scope out what it would take and what it would cost to do a forensic audit, end quote. That work was completed in September 10th when the board rejected the contract with Bennett Engineering for independent evaluation of the capital replacement program that was included in the study. And the change from a fiscal audit to a forensic audit to a independent evaluation of the capital replacement program was not something I did on my own. That was something the board discussed and agreed to at that February meeting. So I took that direction from the board. So if there's any concern or confusion about why didn't we get a forensic audit, that discussion happened at the boardroom, and legal counsel weighed in on it, and I weighed on it, and individual board members weighed on it, and the decision was made, a forensic audit isn't going to tell the board what they want, what to get the answers they want. They want an evaluation, the cost estimates, and the capital replacement program. And that is different than a forensic audit. So that's the path it went down. I mean, if the board really wants to do a forensic audit of the books, I'm happy to do a RFP and have someone come do a forensic audit of the books. But that is not going to give you the answers that I hear you asking for. So that's part of my job as GM, is trying to understand what your questions are and give you some guidance on how to answer those questions. But if the board just wants to tell me what to do, we can do that. And there's a cost to that. We went over this in February, too, that there's a cost to a forensic audit, and it's not cheap. And the point of a forensic audit is to look for fraud and look for things in the books that somebody's stealing money. And that is a forensic audit. And so when we talked about all this stuff in February, what to do about this capital replacement program and how to evaluate whether or not the board agreed with it. And that was the path that was decided, and that's what I did. And I brought it back to you in September, and the board rejected it, which is all okay, right? I don't have a problem with any of that. It's all okay. I think that's good government. You guys had direction. You gave me direction. You followed direction. You got the results. You say, you know what, Steve, we don't like this. We don't think this is the right approach anymore. We want to pause on this for now. It's all okay. We can do that. Anyway, that's how we got where we got. So everything from that February meeting has been directed. We've done. And now it's need direction. If you want to reevaluate these things for the 2020 year, the one thing I wanted to add that I discussed with legal counsel is that the litigation challenging the adopted rates, so that right we had the lawsuit, and I think that's an underlying kind of ghost in the room here, or elephant, I guess, however you want to look at it. That litigation challenging other rates has been fully briefed. That happened in October and is submitted to the judge for determination. We do not have that determination yet. As you know, that hearing was delayed multiple times by no fault of any of the parties, what? Entirely by the court and their own schedule. They punted us down the road, I think, at least twice, maybe three if my memory is right. And we had to push. I remember Barbara had to push hard to keep us on the calendar and get us the hearing date we did. So every time we got pushed, Robert's firm was back on the phone with the courts trying to push an earlier date, and then they had scheduling conflicts with the opposing counsel, and it was a work to get us that to the point where we got in front of a judge, and we wanted that day in front of the judge, and we want resolution more than anybody. We'd like to have a result. And so that decision, that all been done, we're waiting on a decision from the judge. Again, we have no control over how long he wants to take to review it. Barbara's told me they have, by law, 90 days. And so that puts us in the mid-January time frame for a response or a result. Right. So that's the underlying to some of this is, I know we all want to know, when's that lawsuit? What's the result of the lawsuit? We won't know until sometime in January. So that's it. If you guys direct me, I will go do an analysis for you, bring it back to the January meeting for you to decide if you want to freeze or not.
Yeah, I just want to add also, too, because obviously I talked with Steve about the agenda and setting the agenda, and I felt this was the appropriate way to at least handle this, because there was certainly feedback from a board member or a couple regarding wanting to see this. But, of course, none of us, at least, or should know, I certainly didn't, about what the full board felt on revisiting this, having this discussion again. So there was, of course, people out there already saying that, this is some evasion or trying to avoid this or whatnot. It's not the case at all. The board is having a chance to decide if this is something that you want. My understanding against Steve, like last time, is that if the rates are frozen again at a January meeting, that can be done with the January-February billing.
Yes,
and
yes it can.
It's as it happened last time.
That's what happened last time, that we didn't get direction until February on this. So I didn't have a resolution from the board until February, a month after this last time, and that's, we can work with that. That's not a problem. Bills don't go out to the end of February. It's no problem to go in there and change the rates before we run billing. So the only thing, is we do send out notices to irrigation water customers at the end of the month, at the end of December, but they have until March 1st to get their applications in. So even then, they don't even see a bill until May or some irrigation starts in May. So even then, there's still some time for the board to make a thoughtful decision on this. So.
I just want to be clear again. This is an example, and we heard this again today, that this was something, that agenda items aren't put on there in the exact language. This is an example of when it was put on there, what we thought was best to actually try to get the full board's input, obviously the public's input on this too, to have a thoughtful discussion on this before it goes forward, understanding the fact that we had time to freeze the rates again if we wanted to, if the board so chooses, and not affect or at least minimally affect the individuals. Again, understanding there's going to be a little bit of uncertainty with the irrigation folks in terms of when we send the notice out and what the rates are going to be after that, but I mean, that's something that we can manage. So that's why it was done. So with that, we can take, we start with questions from the board on this, and then we'll go to and public comment, obviously. And then we probably come back to the board for comments and, obviously a action.
Just before moving forward to that, when General Manager Palmer stated that he only heard from one board member. When the time comes for board comments for request, if one member makes a request, I'm not going to repeat their request if I agree with it. It's never been said that we need multiple people to request it. The only time I did that was with the grant writer, where I polled all of the other board members, and four of the five agreed we should have a grant writer discussion. And with the minutes, a single member mentioned something, and it went with the minutes. So, as we can see, we're having differing of opinion.
And I just like to clarify, because what I need is direction from the board. And so, if someone has a great idea, I need someone to say, yeah, hey, Steve, and it's usually the president, I mean, but it could be anybody else. Hey, can we, general manager, can you bring that back to us at the next meeting? Or when can you bring that back to us at the next meeting?
I say it at the end of every meeting.
Yeah, I'm looking for some more guidance on what the board wants me to do with those items that are coming up as...
And I don't know how we can do it as the board when we make a request, then we leave the meeting. There's no way the board can kind of give that to you.
Well, at the meeting, other people need to speak up and say, yeah, I agree with Dr. Saunders. Hey, Dane, Mr. President, can we have the general manager bring that back next time? Something like that. You guys need to have the discussion about whether or not you want to bring that back. I mean, and the mechanism by which we do that. Otherwise, I'm in this situation like we're in today. Because I'm not going to spend time to do analysis and research and prepare a staff report if I don't feel like the board is directing me to do it.
Steve, I understand your frustration, and maybe if I could make a recommendation to the board and to the board members, is that possibly what would help clarify this for the general manager is if we do find ourselves in these situations, we look to our leadership, to our board president, to bring us back around and get us on topic, and then ask the board if this is something the board wants to do. You've done that several times today, which is a great thing, because you're getting consensus from each of the board members on certain issues before we move forward. So if we could look to our leadership to maybe get us back on topic and on focus collectively as a governance team on these specific issues that we can clarify the general manager, that might help.
Because this is, disturbing that when my constituents ask me to bring up something and I bring it up as a board member for the agenda, and it doesn't get done, but my constituents can request to Steve Palmer, and then it'll get done, so bypass me if I get everybody in the audience to send it to Steve and not me. That's the way it'll get done. That seems to be kind of opposite of why we elect officials.
Well, then let's...
This was not a bypassing, or this was, at least from my perspective, the best way to manage what the request was with what the public request was.
Well, and I think a clarification on our policy on agenda items is in order after all this.
And I've asked for that
I understand.
January
I agree with
December.
You. I agree.
And it's just,
from my perspective, it's a workload issue. Mm-hmm. It's just how I have limited resources and I'm trying to hit things that seem like the most important to the board and still get our day-to-day work done. So as issues become hot issues, we'll have to take them. I think this is one where I'm going to have to take because it's becoming a hot issue. And I mean, policies are important, but as you know, they're not always the highest priority because they're a need to do, but not a have to do, And so a lot of times, especially in an agency small like this, we are focused on the fires. We are focused on getting stuff that has to get done. And so the need to do is like this. I guess I always thought it was the category quarter B. Quarter B stuff. Don't get to as much as often as you should, even though that's where you really should spend most of your time and be most effective. So we understand all that, and reality is sometimes a little harder, makes it hard for us to do.
Correct. So one of the ways we can help you, Steve, for clarification, to remedy that situation is, again, look back to our leadership to get us, as a governance team, back on the topic, and if there are one member that's making a concerted effort to bring a point forward, let's have our leadership talk about whether, with the rest of the board members, whether that's something we want to move on as a governance team together on. That should hopefully.
Looking at me, I don't.
Well, and
I will certainly. I will certainly be more vocal asking questions. I will speak up more, ask questions for clarification than. That's about all I can do.
All right, well, let's get back to this. Questions on this before we open up to public comment?
I've got a couple of comments on just a couple of things. I'd like to see this put on the January 2020 board meeting agenda, but I think before we can reasonably make any kind of a decision on what next steps should be taken, we're going to need the fiscal year-end budget with the actuals in it so that we know where we stand budgetarily, financially. I think we're going to need the to realize and take into account the fact that the fiscal year-end 17-18 budget had $200,000 left over that went into Fund 10, the water fund. So to lose 210 from the rate freeze wasn't much of an impact on the district.
218? Was it 218? Oh, no, it wasn't 210. I'm sorry. It was 210.
It was 210.
Yeah.
So basically, the temporary 12-month rate freeze that we're coming up on the end of really only had an impact on this district of about $10,000. And that's what we know based on some of the projected numbers until we get the actual fiscal year-end numbers. I'm not sure that I would be comfortable making a wise, reasonable decision if we don't have the fiscal 18-19 year-end with the actuals in it. The other concern that I have in going back and looking over what was budgeted in 18-19 and what was budgeted in 17-18 when this 218 rate hike took effect is that there are expenditures in our budget that continue to increase. For example, legal is one of them. We had budgeted 150. This year we got budgeted 200,000. To me personally, that seems excessive. So if there's areas within the budget that we can look at cutting and putting, moving to other funds within the fund source to, again, get going on some of these projects that we know have come in over budget, and especially if we don't get that water grant, that smart water grant, our current budget is going to be $700,000 over budget. So I think we need to talk about this on the agenda, but I think beforehand we really need to look to our directing our general manager to make sure that he gets things accomplished for us so that we can make some reasonable sound decisions. And I know he's working on them now, but we need to possibly think about making sure they get done before we talk about this in January so that we can see those and review those and be prepared to have this discussion in January.
Do you want to address that? I mean,
well, so this is those things. So I have one board member telling me to do something, right? Do all this, right? Did y'all hear that? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, we were born. And so now everyone is sitting quietly. And so that's where it would be nice if someone else could say something. I will say something in the absence, is that we'll definitely do an analysis, and that's the point. That's why we agendized it the way we did, is so that we could get that input from you, Cindy, actually, you know, so we could hear that. Because I'm not saying it's bad input. It's good input. I want that from you guys, but I'd like to hear it from everybody, you know? And so that is good, and we will do the best we can to do a thorough analysis and present you whatever data we have available at the time, right? I mean, we have budget actuals that we can do now. But they're not going to be the same as the audit, because they're year-end entries that get made by the audit to allocate expenses differently, and there'll be slight changes, and I don't want to be accused of trying to hide something or doing shell games or, you know, it's ridiculous. So, like, all right, well, I'm not going to bring the fiscal year and the budget actual until we have the audit done, because then I know all those year-end entries are done, and even though they're immaterial, then everything will match, right? And then I want to try and explain all these year-end adjustments we had to do, the auditors tell us to do, to allocate things across different funds a little differently, or to allocate interest expenses differently, and, you know, they're just accounting things that are not expenditures, they're not expenses, not things we spend money on, it's just how do you account for them properly. So, I'm happy to write whatever we have, information we have available at the time, at the January meeting, unless the board says, don't bring it back. If you told me, don't bring it back until you do a budget actual comparison based on the fiscal year audit, then I will wait until we have the fiscal year audit done and give you the, based on the actual, you know, the the fully audited fiscal year. And again, if and the budget adjustments, again, if you say to me, Mr. General Manager, don't bring back this item until you provided us with the budget adjustments we need to make for 18-19, or, you know, first quarter, second, whatever, however we're in, trying each of the first quarter here. We'll try to do it today, but it'll be next time. On the first quarter fiscal, first quarter budget actual, if you say don't bring this back until you've done that, I can do that too. That the data is all there. I have no problem at all going through doing the analysis for you so you can make a well-informed decision. I just need some parameters, because my approach would be, I'm at this point, what I'm hearing, what I, before you spoke, what I heard was, bring us the data you have so that we can make a decision at a January meeting. If the board says no, wait until you have XYZ done first, then I will wait until I have XYZ done first. That's up to the board. If you want my opinion on those, that's a different question. If you want my opinion on what you need to make a decision, that's a different question. And if you need to know that, then I will wait for you to ask it.
Well, my question though is the timing of that. You're not.
Yes.
I don't think you're going to have all that, the audit, by January.
I don't know. If you asked me last week, I would have said yeah, but today maybe not.
Well, you were asked with your general manager's report, and you
said
January.
Probably.
So.
I said probably. That is the goal. The goal was December, and we didn't make it. And so that was my goal. I was pushing my staff and the auditors. The goal was December. We're still pushing to get the audit completed by the end of December, which should give me December 31st, which should give me enough time to put together a report and make sure the auditors can come to present it to you at the January meeting. That's the goal, and that's what I'm trying to accomplish. I just, you know, as I sit here right now in this meeting, I can't commit to it. I wouldn't put my life or my job on having you guys a staff report on the fiscal year audit at the end of January meeting. I could definitely bring you a budget to actual, no problem. I can do that next week if you want to do a special meeting on year-end budget actual, but it's going to be based on unaudited financials, so it's the audit's not done yet, so there may be entries after that point that shift money around between funds. I could also give you a first quarter budget actual next week if you want to do a special meeting. I could do that next week, no problem too, but again, there might be year-end audit entries that affect the beginning balances, and you know, this may cause confusion, but the data is all there, and it's not difficult to go through and run reports and analyze it for you. But as far as the budget adjustments go, that one is trickier. I mean, that's again, if you want it, if you want adjustments for first quarter done before, you know, then yeah, that would be at the January meeting, and you could put them both. I don't know. I need direction if you want them both on the same agenda. You know, if you want me to put together, because we should have gone to the finance committee by that point, because they should meet next week unless something blows up and you don't have a meeting. And I guess PG's not going to shut our power off, so maybe there's a snowstorm and we can't get to work. I don't know. But, you know, we're supposed to have a meeting next week, and they would look at this revised CIP, and then we could bring that back to the board of the January meeting. And so the January meeting would have budget, you know, could have first quarter budget, the actuals with budget adjustments, could have the audit, 18-19 budget, the actuals, 5-year CIP adjustment, and then a rate study. That was a lot for you guys to get through in an afternoon. So, you know, those are the things that I would throw out there for you guys to think about. When you're trying to decide what direction to provide you with on this item.
So, Steve, is it reasonable for you to get those items finished?
I think so.
That you just mentioned, so that we could have them by January, so we could put this on the January agenda?
I believe they could all be in a January agenda, pending whatever the auditors come up with. So that's my only caveat, is I'm not sure when the auditors will be finished with their work,
okay,
and whether or not we can make all the adjustments they want us to make, okay, and whether or not they can be here at the January meeting. Those are the three things I cannot control, and so I'm just reacting to those.
Okay, so when we go to board discussion, and I have a discussion with the board, which I appreciate, I'm waiting for board members then to weigh in, depending on what our discussion is and what we determine, then we can turn to staff and ask for their input. If I just say something and we get input, and you say something and get input, another director says something and we get input, we're asking staff to make several of the same comments over and over and over again. So I would ask that when we go to board discussion, we have a discussion with just the board members. And then whatever we decide upon, then we take that to the staff and get input from staff or input from legal. So during board discussions...
That's what it should be.
Yeah, and I apologize for not speaking up a lot because I'm a bottom line kind of guy. You know, and I... So if you can bring as much back, Steve, by January of next month, it'd be great. Because most of the time I just shake my head. But yes, please, if you can get some of these, the rate study and some of these budgets done by next month, it'd be appreciated.
One of the things I could also bring up is, as the liaison of the finance committee, a lot of those numbers should be done. So if we can give those reports to the board at that time, this way we have some time to review it before January, that would be helpful as well.
I'm sorry, clarify, give what reports to?
The revised CIP, all the stuff that we go through with the finance committee, if we could get those numbers at that time and share with the board so we have enough time to review it as opposed to 3 days.
That would be much appreciated, save a lot of time.
I will copy the board.
This is Dave, chime in.
Sure.
You know, I think it would be helpful for me to have the finance committee have an opportunity to look at these numbers and even be able to make comments on them before we see the numbers, because you know, that's their role, is to take a look at these kind of numbers and make recommendations to us. And I think we've got a strong finance committee. We should try to utilize it if possible.
I agree with you,
Dave.
That
was the plan, to bring it after the finance committee made the recommendations.
Correct. And the finance committee has made it a point to set meetings and be prepared and show up at the meeting, but yet the work wasn't there and finished for them to review, so they had to put it off. And then they had another meeting that was put off and canceled because of the weather. So if they, if the general manager can have his work completed for the finance committee by their December 18th meeting, then it puts us online to have this on the agenda in January for us to have some of those numbers to talk about in January.
Well, you aren't going to have the audit, though.
No, so what I'm hearing, though, is that, Director Halpin, please correct me if I'm wrong. What I'm hearing from you is you would like to see the finance committee review this rate freeze first. Or, no. That's not what it is. Just the budget.
The numbers that you were going to present to us to evaluate, have it, the finance committee, to give them an opportunity to review it and make recommendations along with the report that you're giving us, just gives us another set of eyes to look at that data, as opposed to us walking into the meeting next month and having very little time to review it and possibly not have the benefit of the finance committee's recommendations.
So, Dave, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that what I'm suggesting, that would be ideal for me if that is possible and can fit our timeline.
And I think, well, can you get clarification? Because what I'm hearing from him is different from what you guys What I'm hearing from him is different than what you're hearing from him. Because what I'm hearing is bring the rate freeze analysis to the finance committee first. That's what I heard from what he just said.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
That's what I heard.
That's what I think he
said. Okay. So that's what I need to know from the board if you guys agree with that. Sorry. I'm just trying to clarify because I'm not always. Because I hear him say something, and then someone else will chime in, and they'll say something that's not quite the same, and I'm not sure if... I'm sorry.
My question to follow up on that, then, what is the timeline for that? Walk me through that. I need to know what that is. Is that realistic to have? Can you get that by to them next week for their meeting, and then have it for us? Because otherwise, then the finance committee meets after us in January, which would then push this back to February, which then leads to the next question. Is February okay to still make a decision on this? If there was a rate freeze. You see where I'm going?
Yep.
So.
I'm trying to think how much work went into it last year when we did this. It's quite a bit of work that goes into it. I haven't even started yet. So I can't commit to getting it to the committee next week.
Steve, would you?
I would like to, but I can't commit to that. I could.
Would your information that you would provide to me any different than what you provided to response to Ms. Bartholomew's email when she requested rate hikes and you replied to her and gave her the monthly charges for drinking water and irrigation that we included in the town hall?
It would be significantly different. It would be similar to what I presented to January and February last year, whereas I went through the exact comparison we talked about earlier is where how much revenue have you actually had this year, and versus what the rate. So I did last year. I looked at what revenue do we actually generate, what did the rate study assume, what are the projections look like, so I could define that. I don't know how to describe this politically correctly. I call it a hole because you're whatever the lost revenue is.
Yeah.
You lost revenue by the freeze because you are losing revenue. We all know that, and so that number is, I think it's around, like you said, $210,000 a year roughly.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go through and update that with current revenues to see what so you guys can have that. So it would be a lot different. I'd want to go through that whole February, January staff report and revisit and go through update numbers and provide some more information. Because as I think about it, you know, at the year one, you had $200,000 lost revenue. And that never gets, I'll speak up for Dave, you never get that back. Because you can't go 10% the next year or ever again. You can only go 5% per year. So you're locked into those percentage increases each year. And so you never get that $210,000 back. So the impact of freezing 1 year is actually, over the lifespan of the rates, $800,000. And then if you add another year on top of that, now that's $400,000, right? And then, so you got $200,000 the first year, $400,000 the next year, $400,000, so.
Don't forget the 10% that the other one, the irrigation is going to have to pay.
Right, that, yeah. So you never, you know, that's the impact, that's the analysis. I mean, doing it verbally kind of off the cuff because I'm kind of familiar with the numbers and I spent a lot of time last year doing this, so I'd want to go through and update it again and make sure all that is accurate and provide you guys with good information. And again, most importantly is compare revenue numbers to see, are we tracking with the rate study projections, which last year I did, we were really great. We were right on them within a couple percentage, which was, you know, good, right? It's good when you're on your projections, so I'd want to do that again to see if we're still tracking that way. Because the rate study assumed kind of some kind of fluctuation in sales based on what your rates did. So, you know, there's some rate shock and then they bounce back. And there's some rate shock and they bounce back to a certain extent. So there's some timing in there. We want to just compare and see if we're hitting the mark or not. And then there's the impact on your capital improvement plan that I want to do. Like, that's the most important thing to me. Is what are your impacts on your operating and your CIP budgets? And that part, I didn't even think about a second year of a freeze when I did this last year. So I don't know. It might, you know, this might impact operating budget. I don't know. I know it's going to impact your CIP because that's a huge chunk. If you're contributing $1 million a year to your capital improvement plan, and now you just decrease it by $200,000, and then now $400,000, that's a big impact. On a district of our size, you know, we have a few $1 million in reserves. $400,000 is significant, so it will definitely affect the 5-year capital improvement plan. And I haven't even thought about what that looks like. So I want to do all that for you guys, and for the finance committee. So I mean I can't commit to having that for next Wednesday's meeting.
This is Dave chiming in again. I think this is a really important decision in my mind, and I would not want to artificially create some time urgency that would then result in us looking at numbers that had not been fully thought through by the staff and fully vetted by the finance committee before. And my sense is we should not constrain this by time. We should constrain this by getting accurate data completed by the staff and reviewed by the finance committee and do that as soon as possible. And if that can't happen by the next meeting, then it can't happen by the next meeting. And that's just fine by me, as long as it gets done correctly, and then we can make a database decision based on good numbers. So that would be my view on how to proceed.
Well, Dave, how about this as a consideration then? Because we've got more options here. And I think we're getting ourselves into a narrow scope here where we're not broadening our viewpoint out to look at other options. Another option we can consider as a board and during our board discussion is that we simply just put this item on the January agenda and decide at that time to temporarily freeze the rates so that we're not interrupting billing, going with a rate increase, and then backing that off once we get the numbers and decide to temporarily freeze it again for not more than 12 months or whatever the time frame is. How about instead we put this item on the agenda in January, we do a temporary freeze on the rates and hold them where they are now until we get the data from the general manager that's been vetted through the finance committee and through the board, then we decide what our next steps are.
That's going to bring us into February.
Possibly. Depends on how fast the general manager can get his work done. He's been working on supposedly revising the CIP for a couple of months now. So he's had time to be working on this and get some of it accomplished. If he has to go back now and rethink that, adding into the compound effect of a second year freeze, if that's the potential, and do that work, he's going to need the time anyway.
And the billing process is going to be different also.
Correct. But we don't want to jeopardize the billing process.
Go into effect in February, Steve?
Yeah. Yes.
Or was it retroactive for January?
No, it started with the January-February billing. The resolution, so the board took action and said, in January, bring us back a resolution that would freeze the rates. And then in February, we brought it back, and you guys adopted the resolution that freeze the rates. And it was effective with that billing cycle, so... Mm-hmm. The rates never went up.
So if we don't put this on the agenda and do a temporary freeze until the work is done, then we get ourselves into a potential situation where the rate increase would go into effect. And then depending on what the data says and depending what our outcome is, if we reverse that, we've screwed up finances here and billing here.
Well, wait, I'm hearing though that you can still, we did it in February last year.
Yes.
So we did do it in February. So we can,
yes.
And not, to use your term, screw up the finances or the... confuse anybody with their first billing.
We can do it.
That would mean that the pressure is on you then, Steve, to have all the work finished and to the finance committee, and the finance committee to have a meeting and make their recommendations and get them to the board, and the board has time to review it before we make a decision on an upcoming agenda item. Are you going to be able to do that by February?
Yes.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is there's no urgency for February for him to get that done. He has to get it done correctly. If we decided, taking Cindy's suggestion, to extend the freeze as it is for however much time it requires us to get the correct information in front of us, the worst case, that's going to be a month one way or the other. And so I certainly wouldn't have any problem with extending the freeze as is and directing the staff to do their work, do it accurately and diligently, and get it reviewed by the finance committee and bring us good information to make a decision when that information is available.
You can't make a decision.
And 4 weeks, one way or another, it's trivial in the big picture, in my mind, as opposed to the importance of getting good information to us when that information is available.
Correct. And Dave, just for clarification, we can't make a decision on anything today except whether we want to discuss this in January.
Right.
So we're going to have to put this on the January agenda to discuss temporary freezing the rates until the general manager has his work finished. And to the finance committee, and then the finance committee to have time to review it, make the recommendations back before the board.
Well, why don't we just do this once though in February? We can still do it in February. That then we should have all the data by then to bring it.
Because I'm going by what the agenda says. We're discussing whether.
But aren't the rates frozen until February based on the current motion that's in force?
Current motion would increase the rates in January.
No. Well, the January.
The current resolution says rates go up with the January February billing.
Right. December we get increased. You know, the January February billing, which doesn't go out until
end of February.
February.
But it affects December, January, and February.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
January, December.
They read the meters in December.
They read meters last week in December.
So if this is brought up on February, and whatever we decide in February will be January, February going.
Yes.
So what's the board's pleasure?
So, yeah, that's, I think we should go, I'm hearing from staff that we can, that you can get all this done certainly by February.
Yes.
And it's a maybe, quote unquote, maybe during January due to timing and et cetera. And so that's not going to have the full information. It's not going to affect if we do the rate freeze. It's still going to be in that same billing period. And that way the board has, and we will have the information from the lawsuit by then, by the February meeting.
Maybe we should.
Right? I mean, it's mid-January.
If he doesn't issue his decision, they keep his paycheck.
I'm assuming he's going to get paid. So
that's the only hammer I've got.